Brooke Henderson wins the Lotte Championship. Is it Lotte?
It's good. That's good. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Brooke Henderson wins the Lotte Championship for her eighth victory. CT Pan wins his first PGA Tour event at the RBC Heritage. I picked up a case of the Shanks on the weekend, and we have eight-time Canadian long drive champion Lisa Longball on the show. Make sure you listen until the end when we talk about the amazing entry package at the Flagstick Open that should have you signing up for the tournament today. But welcome to episode 11 of the Flagstick.com T-Talk podcast. I'm Stefan Tiedorf. Sitting across from me is the associate publisher of Flagstick.com and PGA of Canada professional Scott McLeod. Scotty, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing much, much better because I am happy to say we have our man back, the guy that makes all of this happen, T-Top producer Nick Gallinger. Nick, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
We needed you so bad last week.
We were technically challenged last week. That
is,
say that.
That is an understatement. We had Tiger Woods booked for the show. I couldn't get the call coming in, so that's too bad. But, back. We're back. We're happy to have you back. Everything good?
Everything's good.
Everything's good. Yeah. Congratulations. You called Tiger Woods winning the Masters. We couldn't even have you come in and talk about it. Let's get your take. I know it's 2 weeks later, but we're still talking about the Masters a little bit. How'd you enjoy the weekend?
You're just going to sit there and gloat, aren't you?
When he was getting his green jacket, you just quickly said that, yeah, buddy, right before he got it.
That was sweet.
That was awesome.
Good call. Clearly you're the expert. I don't know what we're here for anymore. Where do you want to start this week, Scotty? We have a lot of content to get into. We can start with Brooke. We can start with my Shanks on the weekend. Where do you want to start?
I'm going to avoid the Shanks because that's what we all want to do. We definitely have to start with Brooke. I mean, I think that was the news of the weekend for a lot of people, especially in Canada. Just impressive to see her get that eighth LPGA Tour win and tie Sandra Post as far as the most winning Canadian on the LPGA Tour.
And Mike Weir and Jordan Knudsen here, most winningest Canadian golfer of all time. And she's only been on the tour for 4 years, if that.
Five, this is her fifth year now. So 17 when she got her first win, 21, I think I tweeted out, 21 years, 10 months, 7 days, or 11 days, I think.
She might break the record.
Yeah, I think she's doing
she's
okay.
On pace.
Sandra Post, she accomplished the mark in 1970, let me think when it was.
1981 was her 81, last one. Yep.
And she was 33 when that happened. And you know what? Sandra Post is, she's known that Brooke is coming along, going to, you know, get that title, and she's happy for her. And, you know, she mentioned it in interviews. She was on air, which was great for the Golf Channel. They brought her on to talk about it, which was nice. But she's mentioned in the past, she knew Brooke was going to catch her and surpass her and had no expectation that that record would hold.
That was amazing. What a great end to that tournament. She just stripes the ball down the fairway, down the fairway. I don't know if many people know that she averages 280 yards off the tee, which is about sixth currently on the LPGA this year. Hits about 72% of fairways. Not as, you know, not as accurate, but that's clearly one of her best clubs in her bag. And the craziest part about it is she carries a 48-inch driver. That's like a long drive driver.
Yeah, it is. And, she chokes up on it a few inches, and she's always done that as a kid. I think I tweeted out a picture on the weekend. You could see even when she was 9 years old.
Both feet off the ground.
That was actually just not far from right here where we're actually taping this right now. That was actually at the first tee at the Ambersview Golf Club.
There you go.
Which is kind of wild when you think about it. But she always played with clubs that were a little bit too long for her, so she always choked up on it. And that's what she does. But yeah, she loves that driver. It's her favorite club. She loves the golf course too in Hawaii there. She knows off the tee, which is, I was thinking about it actually on the way to the studio. You know, she did talk about the fact that she loved that golf course because, you know, it fits her eye. She likes, there's lots of room for her to hit it off the tee. But at the same time, when she goes to like golf courses like Sahali, where, you know, she played really well, and other golf courses that she played in the Pacific Northwest, she said she likes when they're tree lined and defined it as well. So she's taking it.
I think it's Hawaii.
I think, you know, it's funny because I think it's just a mindset for her. She doesn't matter what it is, wide open or tree lined, she just loves to hit the driver.
I think I would enjoy a root canal in Hawaii, let's be honest.
No, hey, that's fair. But yeah, definitely the driver. She's always loved hitting the driver. I have managed to hit that 48-inch ping driver that she plays. There's an event that I get to go to once a year. Kevin Hame up in Ottawa has Brooke come in for an event that's a charity event for kids. And everybody got to hit her driver the 1 year, and that was kind of interesting. But she'll be there in a couple weeks as well. She'll be back up for that in a private event, but it's remarkable to watch, that's for sure.
Picks up a nice check too, 300,000 career earnings, about 5,300,000. Not bad for a girl that's only 21 from Smiths Falls.
Well, if you think about it now, that's 8 wins, but it's also 39 top 10s already in her career.
How is she so low in the world ranking? Now she just bumped up to 7th, but going into the tournament, what was she, 12, 11? She wasn't even in the top 10. 12
going in, but it's the divisor. She plays a lot of events. A lot of the other players, you know, she normally has up to 30-some-odd events in the schedule. She likes to play. She played a few less last year. But she generally likes to play anything that she can get in, and, you know, she's not going to take really a break. And unfortunately, that hurts her because the divisor really averages out the points. And as a result of it, other players, you know, get up there higher in her in the world rankings. So she's just got to win more.
Yeah. She goes back to back, though. She won there last year in Hawaii, and she can go back to back again this year at the Canadian Open up at Magna Golf Course or Golf Club, Magna Golf Club. I don't know. You can't ever get on the course. It's pretty much a secret to Ontarians. Wow, I'm botching words today.
It is going to be a show up there. Yeah. I mean, the ticket sales, if they haven't been great already, they're going to be fantastic.
Florida Georgia Line playing there?
They are not, but I really don't think they need it. I'm not sure on the numbers for that. I know, obviously, the Canadian Open, 25,000, they're limited to for space and Hamilton. But for the women, Magna, I would suspect they're going to be a similar amount. There's not a lot of room there for spectators. It's a fairly tight golf course for room to put everybody in there. So I would suspect they're going to be around the same amount of people that are in there. And being that close to the GTA, being in Aurora this year, it's going to be a hard ticket to get.
I'm excited. Ryan DeVoe was talking to me the other day about potentially carrying a bag, which sounds terrifying, but who knows? Maybe we'll caddy in my first professional event on the LPGA. That'd be fun.
You've done it. Yeah, I have, actually. I did it a couple years ago at the CP Women's Open in Ottawa. It's a great time. I mean, there's nothing better than being inside the ropes to really get a feel for the tournament. You know, you can sit in the media center all you want, but until you're in the ropes, walking down the center of the fairways, getting a feel for what's happening on the golf course and really see the golf course, how the players see it, and just get the feel for the energy of the fans and how they're getting excited. And especially with Brooke out on the golf course, I know I was caddying for Grace St. Germain. She was on the national team, and we were on the opposite side of the golf course on the Thursday, Friday that week. And we could hear everything going on the other side of the golf course anytime. And Brooke was close to missing the cut that year, and we were listening, and it was really quiet. And then all of a sudden, you know, she makes a birdie and the whole place goes nuts. I expect the same kind of environment's going to be there at Magna. So yeah, if you can get out there and loop, that would be great. And I know we also have some guests that are going to be lined up that week as well with the help of Ryan, right?
Oh, we have a lot of great guests for that week. I'm really excited for that week. We have obviously the Canadian Open coming up too. So a lot of great events coming up. Hopefully I actually last the whole round, and, you know, I don't get fired mid-round like I think it was Grayson Murray a few years ago, or Robert Allenby when his caddy walked off. You know, they just pull up some random girl out of the crowd and like, hey, carry my bag for me because this guy's an idiot.
It happens, that's for sure. So you don't want to be that one.
You probably shouldn't put that on the record when Ryan's putting his name out for me. Moving on to the men's tour, CT Pan picked up his first PGA win at the RBC Heritage. This guy, he's tiny, tiny guy.
He is
5'6". Yeah. 145 pounds.
Tiny guy, big heart, nice guy. Everybody loves him. When he played on the Canadian Tour, the Mackenzie Tour, Brian Decker, who was their communications guy, who now works for TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, he's got nothing but great things to say about CT Pan. And I think the one thing that stuck with me was, you know, not only did he get the win in, you know, a great fashion, tough golf course. Harbortown is not an easy golf course to get the golf ball around on. But right afterwards, his first thing he started talking about in his interview was the event that he and his wife are behind, the AJGA event, back home in Texas, I believe. And they were, you know, he basically said, you know, I've got a responsibility to give back to the game. A lot of people gave him opportunities when he came to the U.S. And came over to North America to play. And, you know, it's, you know, he likes to give back, and obviously now he's a winner.
Yeah, it's awesome. This guy won twice on the Canadian Tour, and here's something crazy. So the year he won twice, 2015, before he started on that season on the Canadian Tour, he was still in the Taiwan military at that point.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and he picks up two wins. He goes on to the web.com tour. He doesn't pick up a win. He just keeps playing great at every single level. Obviously not that well known, but a guy that just has quite the story.
And I think one of the events he won on the Canadian Tour, if I'm not mistaken, he like birdied out like the last seven holes or something to get the win. So incredible player, super talented, and I don't think this would be the last we see of him in the winner's circle on the PGA Tour.
Just a little lad just pounding it out there from Taiwan. But I mean, I think the story of the weekend, though, is DJ. This guy throws up a final round set, goes in the final day with a one-stroke lead and throws up a final round 77. Just, as I like to say, puked all over himself. He easily could have that win. Any other tournament you think DJ is going to throw at a sleepy 69, come off and go, oh, I played really good today and I'm happy to have won the tournament. But nope, he decided to go the other way and shoot in big old 77.
You know what? I'm not shocked by it. I mean, obviously, for the level of player he is, you wouldn't expect it. Harbortown, I never thought it was a good fit, the golf course for him. I mean, it's so narrow. It's really not designed for what he should, you know, his skill set, I guess. You know, you just can't go banging drivers around there all over the place. But, you know,
But it wasn't even the driver that
no,
that
it wasn't
him.
Really. Yeah.
He was first in strokes gained off
the
tee.
Yep.
So yeah. He was still bombing it down the fairway and hitting fairways. It just everything else went sour on him.
Yeah. I mean, even though, we'll just leave it at that, I guess. I mean, 77, there's probably no excuse for him. I'm sure he wasn't happy. Post-major, is it just a post-major hangover for, as far as play? Whatever the case is, you know, he's back in his home state. I'm sure he would have been a lot happier to perform well. But, he's got a few wins on his resume. So I don't think he's going to worry about it too much.
I actually found a crazy stat. This is the third time he shot 77 or higher going into a final round when he actually was the leader. And that hasn't happened in well over 15 years. I don't have the last person that held that stat, and they're probably happy they don't hold it anymore. But it's just crazy to think that a guy that everyone says if he's on for the week, he's unbeatable, drops it on the final day. It's too bad, but I'm sure he'll bounce back. He is Dustin Johnson. After all, he's pretty much a robot.
Yeah, he'll do okay.
He'll do okay. But speaking of bombing it off the tee, Scotty, we got a good friend of yours, Lisa Longball, on the show. Why don't you give us a quick rundown about Lisa?
Well, obviously, as you mentioned off the top, eight-time Canadian long drive champion. She's been a longtime competitor in the world long drive circuit. She's probably the highest energy person that I know. I've known her for about 10 years, played some golf with her, hung out with her a little bit as far as PGA shows and things like that. Super talented, does a great job in the speaking circuit. We brought her into Ottawa a few years ago at the golf show to do a presentation there. Blew the doors off the place. You know, she was like a rock star coming off the stage. Super enthusiastic, a great ambassador for golf. Lives out in Calgary. Tours, doing all sorts of different things related to golf, a real entrepreneur, and I think people would really, they'll embrace her for sure.
Yeah, hopefully she can give me a couple tips to pick up some yardage and with my driver, because I'm not hitting it that far, and as I said, I was talking about earlier, I'm shanking it too.
Yeah, so
this is a problem, man.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Why don't we get into it after the interview, because I need something positive in my life right now, so let's send it over to Lisa Longball and her interview with us right about now.
All right, we want to welcome in Lisa Longball of Lewiswick. Lisa is a great friend, and we're really happy to have her on the show. She's the first woman to hit a golf ball in competition over 350 yards. She's also probably the most enthusiastic person I know in golf, maybe anywheres. Welcome, Lisa. How are you doing today?
Oh, Scott, thank you so much. I'm doing great today. Just coming off a wonderful Easter weekend with the family and excited for the golf season to get going here.
Yeah, you're in Calgary, and how is the golf season looking there now?
You know what? We're just opening up. So my home course just opened up on Friday. Driving range, most of the courses have now opened up, and it looks like we're snow-free. So, and the ice has melted off most of the lakes, so I think we're good to go.
Looks like your Calgary Flames are snow-free too, if you know what I mean.
I'm telling you, well, first of all, you know, of course, we won the Cup in 89, and of course, we won it in 04 in Game 6 when Jelena did score that goal, and it was called back because of poor camera angles. We're all clear on that one, right? But then, to win our conference, to win the Western Division, and be out in the first round, I'm telling you, Calgarians were gobsmacked. We just, it's been a tough couple days.
Well, I'm either going to look you know, hilarious and funny, or just be biting my words when this comes out on Wednesday and my Leafs are either eliminated or have moved on. So let's move over to some golf now so I don't have to make myself all bite right. my words.
Well, I will cheer, just so you know, I will cheer for your Leafs because I want a Canadian team to win.
I do appreciate that, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Why don't you give us a quick background about yourself in the golf industry to get us all started here?
Well, you know, it's funny. I came from a bit of a different background, actually. In grade 8, I was my dad's last hope as a golfer in the family. My mom didn't play. My sister didn't play. He dragged me out to the local range, and there were 50 boys and me. And he told me, the coach told me to go hit my 6-iron at the end of the range, and he proceeded to work with the boys the rest of the evening. So, you know, I didn't think golf was that fun, and maybe played 9 holes a year with my dad if he forced me. And it really wasn't until my 20s when my boyfriend at the time, now husband, kind of dragged me into golf because he realized it was a key corporate and business networking skill. So he would drag me out to the local muni, wherever we could afford to get on and play. And actually, my big turning point happened in 1999. The LPGA came to Calgary, the Des Moriers Classic, you know, back when cigarette companies used to be able to sponsor sporting events.
Sick. The Des Moriers Classic.
And I was a marshal. Exactly, right? There's a throwback.
Yeah.
And yeah, so watching the best female golfers in the world, I couldn't break 100 to save my life, but I decided I wanted to compete in golf after volunteering that week. So I entered my first competition, and luckily there's competitions for people who can't break 100. It was like the mid-handicap. And I kind of came three-quarters of the way through the pack, but I was hitting it 80 to 100 yards past the other girls. And within a year, I got my handicap down to 11, played in the Alberta Amateur with the top NCAA girls, was hitting it 50-60 by those girls. That's when I knew I was long. Saw an advertisement for a long drive competition and won with a 313-yard drive with a set of clubs from Costco. So wow. That's how it got started.
Isn't that a great commercial for Costco, isn't it?
Wow. I think it is a good commercial for Costco. I think all the other brands are terrified right now.
I mean, Lisa, obviously from there, you know, you went on to sort of explore golf a little bit. Why don't you carry through and sort of tell us how you, you know, you made, I guess, headway from there and how you got into the aspect of long drive competitions.
Absolutely. So for me, what, you know, after winning that first competition, I ended up being in Ontario, in Glen Abbey, and that's where I won my first national title, which was so exciting. And at the time, I was an elementary school teacher and absolutely passionate about teaching. And I had an opportunity to compete on was the LDA, so the Long Drivers of America Long Drive Tour, and it was in cities all across North America. And I remember my first year, you know, man, it was a struggle. And second year, I kind of had a sixth place and an eighth place. And then my third year on tour, I had my first win in Des Moines, Iowa. So that was super exciting. And I was competing at the World Long Drive Championships, and I've had a top 10 finish every year I've competed. I've come as high as second in the world. I lost by 3 yards to 5-time world champion Sandra Carlberg back in 2011. That was a heartbreaker. And I've come third at world championships, and I was top 5 at the 2016 World Championships recently here. So, you know, it's been I fell in love with this sport of long drive, and I realized I had to make a choice that if I was going to travel all across North America competing in long drive, that I couldn't be a teacher full time, or I had to quit competing. And my husband said, you know, Lisa, you have a limited chance to be the best in the world in something. Do it. So I resigned my teaching position for this love and passion and dream of trying to win the World Long Drive Championships.
Well, you had a limited chance, and you didn't stop yourself from going right at it. At one point, you were competing while you were pregnant. Is this true?
I was the first pregnant athlete at the World Long Drive Championships. I was 6.5 months pregnant.
Pardon?
And it was funny because that was 6.5, and it was really funny because I was Phyllis Nettie. That was her first World Long Drive Championship.
Look, Stefan can't play golf on a full stomach, let alone being pregnant. So
wow,
I mean, this is why he can't relate.
It was awesome.
When I read that, I thought you were going to say, no, yeah, it was like 3 months. Like, I was just starting six and a half months. You're grinding.
You should have seen Phyllis Nettie's face. She comes up to the driving range, and it was her first World Championships. And Phyllis Nettie's from New Zealand. She's our reigning World Long Drive Champion. She just set the world record last week in Phoenix at the Golf Channel's World Long Drive Tour with a 413-yard bomb. But the World Championships, I was pregnant. She looks at me at the driving range. I'm sure she's like, what's going on here? There's pregnant girls. And like, you know, and I came top 10 that year. I went win-win through my first two brackets. But I found with the pregnancy, I think I just got a little bit more fatigued. I don't feel like I lost a lot of distance. It was just the fatigue factor more set in.
That's crazy. also 414. Like, is that good?
Oh, that was Phyllis's drive last week. That was unbelievable. What she did, and you know what? You couldn't meet a more gracious champion, kind champion. She's just full of heart, and yeah, I was so proud of her when I watched that ball roll out to 413. She had her ball speed and club head speed was off the charts. She was at 182 mile an hour ball speed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think she was 127 club speed.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scott.
How has that changed, I guess, from when you got into it? And, you know, what's it look like now as far as the competitors that are out there? I mean, when you started, you know, there was some good talented players that were, you know, competing. But, I mean, the field has gotten bigger and bigger, right?
Definitely. The field has gotten deeper and deeper. My first world championship was 2001, and there's always been great competitors and women. The hard part is, you know, if you look at the LPGA Tour, and there's a handful of girls that can hit it over 300 yards, whereas you can get a guy that, you know, from backcountry Arkansas that can't golf a lick but can hit it 390. So we don't have the same thing in our sport. Most of the girls have a really, really great golf swing because we don't have the sheer strength that the men tend to have, and so it's been tough to grow our division. I would say, though, numbers wise, I don't want to dissuade young women who are out there watching that. If you're a woman and you hit it over 300 yards in regular playing conditions, you absolutely would be competitive on the world long drive scene. I know that Phyllis's ball was 413, but they had massive tailwinds and quite a dry grid. That left side of the grid was bouncing quite a bit. Not to take anything away from Phyllis, of course, but I just don't want women to think, oh man, you know, I hit it 300, but boy, I don't hit it 4, so I'm not going to go tee it up. So if a woman's hitting it over 300 yards, they're definitely competitive. But Scott, I would say that it's changed from, you know, when I first started competing. I would say something in the 290 to 300, 305 range would be competitive. And now a winning drive, I would say no wind, perfect conditions, lush grass would be closer probably to 330, 335.
Wow. That's still, yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
60 yards on me, probably.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Lisa, we've talked about it. We've managed to golf a few times over the years. We've become good friends, and you've got some great stories about reactions, mostly, I guess, men in a lot of cases have to you. Why don't you tell us on the air your Pebble Beach story? Because it's one of my favorites. And then we'll segue from there, because I know there's one other story I want to ask you about as well.
Love it, love it. Well, so this is quite fun. So it was my husband's birthday, and he had been so supportive of me, you know, chasing my dream of becoming the world long drive champion. So I knew that his bucket list course was Pebble Beach. So it took me 13 months to squirrel away enough pennies to kind of pay for airfare, accommodations, you know, green fees, the whole nine yards. And when we showed up to Pebble Beach, we were like two kids in a candy store. And we walked into the front counter, and we said, hi, you know, we have a tee time at 12:30. And they said, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Bluswick. And we said, yes. And they said, great, you're playing with the Smith twosome. We said, okay, sounds awesome. And they said, you're playing behind Mr. Fredrickson, Mr. Lester, Mr. Palmer. We said, okay, great, thanks for letting us know. We walk out to the first tee, and who is standing at the first tee at Pebble Beach but none other than Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Palmer.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And my husband's like, Lisa, that's really cool. I'm like, well, we're going to go say hi. And he's like, no, Lisa, we're not going to go say hi to Arnold Palmer. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we are. So he was like, dang. Hi, Mr. Palmer. My name is Lisa. I'm from Canada. and you know what? No wonder there was Arnie's Army. You know, no wonder he was the king. He was so kind to us. He spoke to us. He shared about his day. He shook our hands. He took a picture with us. And I got to watch Arnold Palmer tee off on the first hole at Pebble Beach. And we all clap. Like, and, you know, he turned around and waved to us. But it wasn't the U.S. Open, right? It was just like a Wednesday afternoon. So he was so kind. So, you know, off he went, and we were all in awe. Well, then the Smith twosome came up. And this is my typical reaction I get from a lot of guys when they get teed up with my husband and I, and they come up and I get the look. And I call the look something like they throw their head back, eyes roll like, oh, man. And that look is I got paired with the chick, right? So, you know, they begrudgingly shake my hand and then, you know, one of the guys reaches into his pocket, you know, pull out a tee to spin the tee to land on the ground to see who should tee off first. Well, it lands on me. Well, he rolls his eyes and picks up the tee. Well, I go into my bag and I grab my 3-wood and I come back back into the tee, and I stepped up to the blues, one up from the tips. And the guy kind of takes a double take, but he doesn't say anything. Then the starter comes up to the tee. He's a little long in the tooth. He's like, I don't know, 110. And he says, excuse me, little missy, the ladies' tees are up there. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I said, but my handicap indicates I should play from the blues. No, 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 no. All ladies need to play the ladies' tees. And I'm thinking, I didn't just pay 500 U.S. at like a 67-cent Canadian dollar, you know, to play from, 5,000 yards. So I stood my ground, and you could tell he was irritated, but he let it go. Well, the first hole at Pebble Beach is a dog leg right, and so I had my fairway wood, and I'm standing there, and Mr. Palmer's group is standing in the middle of the fairway hitting their approach shot, so I'm waiting. And the starter says to me, play away. And I said, well, they're still in my range. Well, he looks at me, he looks at my fairway wood, he knows Mr. Palmer hit driver, and he says to me, I don't think so. And steam literally coming out of his ears, and he tells me, we take the pace of play very seriously here at Pebble Beach. After two warnings, you can be removed from the course, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, anyway, after all this hullabaloo, the corner finally clears, and I'm standing there, and in the meantime, another group has come up onto the tee, they're waiting to go, and I'm standing over my ball, and my only swing thought is, please don't go top it off the tee, please yeah. don't go top it
no
off.
Pressure, no pressure.
Which, by the way, that's not a solid swing thought. And I took a deep breath, big swing, and I ripped it down the pipe, and I looked back at the starter, and the only thing he says to me, don't hit into Mr. Palmer. Not a good shot, not anything else. So it was that was a classic moment on the golf course.
Does that happen? I mean, I know we played. I can remember an outing we were at in Florida where I think it was a par four, maybe Alaqua Lakes or something like that, where they had a, you know, you could drive it off the tee and it was a, you know, a short par four or something like that. And you were waiting for the green to clear and the guy was like, go ahead and hit it. And you're like, I'm going to wait. And then you actually put down the driver, get the three wood out, and then hit it in the greenside bunker. But I mean, how often does that happen? And, you know, does it just tick you off, or do you just understand that's just the way it is?
You know what? I get it. Because, you know, it's funny. I usually have most guys, when they play golf with me and I knock it by them, they've got a million questions. And, you know, but there's the odd time I'm going to get the guy that walks on the other side of the fairway and doesn't want to talk to me the rest of the round. Now, that's more rare. Usually guys they're quite surprised to see a lady be able to hit it over three bills. So they're asking lots of questions. And so that's pretty cool. And again, I love sharing about my sport of long drive and trying to grow the game that way. So, but it is quite funny, especially the look of disappointment typically, though, when guys see that they're going to get paired up with a chick.
Yeah, that just sucks for you that happens.
I know, and right?
It's unfortunate that...
It must feel great to prove them wrong, though.
You know what, it does, but that's why you just hope and pray you can hit the fairway, right? You know what, that's not when you want to dribble it off the tee.
Yeah, it's an ego and a fear thing, and it sucks. And but you prove them wrong every single time. And I thought you were talking about Ryan Palmer the whole time. That's the Palmer I always think of, but I guess Arnie's pretty good.
Arnie's pretty good, yeah.
Speaking of a young lady that hits the ball pretty far, Brooke Henderson just picked up her eighth win on Sunday.
Was that off the charts? Like, at Colina, you know, my family, we were just at Colina about 3-4 weeks ago, and we walk up, and there's this huge poster outside the pro shop with Brooke Henderson, her picture on it, with wearing her flowers, her lei, and the trophy. And my son said, hey, Mom, there's Brooke, because he knows. This is a 12-year-old boy in grade 6 going, he notices our Canadian, our, you know, our rock star out there, and just so amazing. And when she hit driver off the deck this past week, like, how good was that? How often do you see that happen?
With a 48-inch driver off the deck, how does she even do that?
Seriously, I know, right? I know that Scott, I've seen Scott's pictures on social media where he's covered Brooke when she was a young girl. I just love those pictures. But I've had the opportunity to meet Brooke when she played in Calgary at the Canadian Women's Open. And just what a lovely, lovely young lady. Like, she's just so polite, so humble. And then we're both actually Golf Town brand ambassadors. So she actually mentioned me in one of the ladies' night things, and I was off the charts that Brooke Henderson mentioned my name. So
something we have in common. I guess I'm kind of a Golf Town brand ambassador myself, if Ooh. That's what they call my part-time
employee.
Part-time employment.
I don't think that's what they call you.
I'm not a brand ambassador like Brooke and Lisa.
Look, Lisa, I've been to some of your exhibitions that you do at Golf Town, and you know,
I don't get the same turnout.
It's not quite the same as when Stefan's there. They're not beating down the door when he's there.
So, you just need to wear a skirt, and then you're set.
There's something. I've been working on my quads.
And hit the golf ball, you know, somewhat decent distance. Oh, how's that? Why don't you tell us a little bit? I mean, you've got that affiliation with Golf Town. Why don't you tell us about the tour that you've been doing the last couple years and how that's been received?
Oh, I have to tell you, it has been so exciting. And, you know, it was by accident. So Golf Town has always been fantastic to me. When I first started in the game, like, I always found Golf Town had the greatest selection of women's golf apparel. So that's, and equipment and everything. Like, typically when you walked into most golf retailers, kind of like the corner of the store was the women's section and, you know, the rest was the guys. And so I always found that they had the best selection. So I always shopped there. And then as I started competing and getting more into golf, they had been fantastic to me. So I always donated my time for their ladies' night. They have an annual ladies' night every May, which is just fantastic. And so I was, two years ago, I was at the ladies' night, and it's just for women, obviously, and there's prizes and clinics and great store specials and stuff. And anyway, so this gentleman walks in the door. I said, hey, I said, this is ladies only. I said, you didn't even wear a skirt. And then the general manager leans over to me and said, Lisa, that's our marketing manager from Toronto. I'm like, open mouth, insert foot. And so he was there, and he ended up being in Calgary, and he brought his wife to the clinic, and because he just wanted to see. Well, afterwards, his wife had asked to go play. She wanted to go to the driving range. She wanted to go play golf. Well, he gave me a call. He said, Lisa, I've been trying to get my wife to golf for several years, and that's the first time she's wanted to. He said, I want this in all 47 stores across Canada. So it just exploded, and I've been everywhere from Vancouver to Halifax, and we're working our way across Canada, and I've been to at least 20 some stores, and we're going to try to hit the rest in the next hopefully year and a half here. So my schedule will be coming up shortly. But basically what I do is I come to a ladies' night. It's free for all women to attend. And of course, you know, it's for women, but if other people want to come and watch too, we would never, you know, turn anyone away. But I basically share some tips and tricks of how to hit the ball longer, straighter, better, how I'm 5'6¾" and I've hit it the length of 3.5 NFL football fields. So it's a great night. It's fun. It's entertaining. And, you know, Scott, as you mentioned, you've come out to one of the nights in the Toronto area. So, you know, it's a wonderful way to grow the game. I send the ladies off with a tip sheet, and we have prizes. And so, yeah, I just love doing it. And I've met so many amazing women across Canada who love this game.
And for all the ladies listening or the men listening that want their wife to check out Ladies' Night, that's happening on May 5th this year. Or if you're in Manitoba, that will be on May 4th. So go check out that. Maybe you'll run into Lisa. Who knows?
Well, actually, I'm competing that day, so Roman was disappointed because I was hoping to be there, but I'm actually flying out May 4th to South Carolina to compete in the World Long Drive Tour event for the Golf Channel. So it's actually pretty cool. It's going to be in Fort Jackson, and so it's the first time that they're having a military division, which is super exciting, and so I'm thrilled to be a part of that. So I'm going to be doing some taping, so I'm going to be doing some videoing in the next week so that my videos can air at each of the Golf Towns on Ladies' Night across Canada. And then also May is also Ladies' Month for Golf Town. And I'm going to be, I have a phone call tomorrow morning to talk about how to do some Lisa Longball inspired clinics in each of the stores that will run weekly all month in the whole month of May.
That's awesome. And when you win that when you win that long drive event, just give us a quick shout out if you don't mind.
Of course, to Golf Town and Flagstick, right?
I love it.
Now, this is your return. You've been out of competition a little bit. You had a little bit of an injury issue last year. Why don't you give us an update on how you're doing with that?
You know what, Scott? It was heartbreaking because I was the reigning Canadian long drive champion in 2017. So last year in 2018, I teed it up in Phoenix actually for my first event for the World Long Drive Tour, and my rotator cuff had been bothering me for a good 6 months, and I thought that just kind of taking the winter off was enough, and it wasn't. I really was experiencing a lot of pain, so I went to the doctor and I pulled out. So it was the first time. I didn't get to defend my Canadian title, and I missed my first World Long Drive Championship since 2001, and so that was quite heartbreaking to not compete. However, I dedicated myself to rehabilitation, and I've been doing laser light therapy, and I've been doing physiotherapy and active release therapy, and I took some time off, gave it some rest, the rest that it needed, and have come back slowly and strengthened it. So it feels really good right now, but this competition next month is going to be the test to see how it's holding up.
Yeah, your swing looked pretty good when we played in January down in Florida, our sort of our annual game. And
At the Acker Golf Shafts Day.
Exactly, which is
I love that.
Which is always a fun time, and you know, occasionally you throw in a backflip, which is a little bit of your signature move.
That may or may not happen.
That may or may not happen. Yeah, yeah. I think I've got some video over the years of you doing a backflip or two, but you're nothing short of fun all the time as well.
Thank you.
Other things that you're doing as well. You're the lead ambassador for Canada for the Women's Golf Day. Why don't you share a little bit of what that's about and how that's grown already in Canada?
Oh, Women's Golf Day. This has been so exciting. Women's Golf Day is a day that we wanted to celebrate women from around the world. Alyssa Gaudet was the founder of Women's Golf Day, and she approached me when it first came out and said, you know, Lisa, I would love for you to kind of be that lead ambassador for Canada, to get the word out there and just share it. And I've been blown away at courses, facilities, driving ranges that are trying to be a part of this day to help, again, to grow the game. It's twofold. We want to celebrate the women who already do play, but we also want to bring new women into the game. So ideally, what we'd love to see are women who are currently playing, if they could bring a friend, a mom, a sister, a colleague, someone that they would like to introduce to the game, because we feel that it's just been this amazing opportunity. June 4th is going to be Women's Golf Day. It's usually the first Tuesday in June, which has been super exciting. And again, we've just, each year it's grown exponentially, and we're still accepting host courses and facilities. So if your golf course, if you're a member at a golf course and you would like your golf course to host a Women's Golf Day, we highly recommend that you check out the website, womensgolfday.com. All the information is there. You can register your location. You can register just to play. You can come as a single. You can come with friends. And it's just a great day where typically the day would look like we start with some instruction. Maybe you have an opportunity to play 9 holes or 18 holes. Maybe there could be fashion shows, and it's an opportunity to network and connect with other women in the game. I guarantee it's going to be fun, entertaining at each of the facilities. Again, we've had phenomenal feedback, so we'd love to see more women participating in that.
What do you think of the state of the ladies' game right now overall, Lisa?
Oh, you know what? I worry about it sometimes. I do have to say that. Like, I think it's young women like Brooke Henderson who truly are helping grow this game. When people are kind of glued to their TVs and watching, these young players come out and do their best. But when I'm out at the golf course, I'm starting to see more women. But I think we need to see more junior girls. I think our big push needs to be to get more junior girls into it so that they can grow. You know, I do about 30 to 40 corporate and charity golf tournaments each year where I come out as an entertainer, and typically 75 to 80% of the attendees are men. And where are the women? The women are often back in the office doing the work while the guys are doing the networking. And women, here's the thing, women don't like to do things poorly, and we especially don't like to do things poorly in front of our male counterparts. And so a lot of women, even if they do play the game, they think, oh gosh, I'm not good enough to play, you know, at our charity golf tournament. And I'm like, no, you don't have to be breaking 100. Like, come watch these guys. Some of the worst swings I've seen are at these golf tournaments. But the guys get it. The guys get it's not about shooting a record-breaking score or getting a hole in one or chipping it close. It's about networking, and people do business with people they know, like, and trust. Do you want a one-hour lunch with your client or customer, or 4.5 hours on the golf course? So I'm concerned that the ladies' game, it's starting. I see some growth, but we really need to explode. We really need to make it welcoming for women, and that's where I see Women's Golf Day as being one avenue to help do that. And again, making women feel comfortable and confident to come out there and give it a try.
If you look at the professional game for the ladies, and if you were the commissioner of the LPGA, what would you change?
Oh boy, you know what? What would I change? You know, I think that I would like to see more interaction of the because I find that the LPGA Tour players, if you go to a PGA Tour event and an LPGA Tour event, I think everyone tells me who goes to the LPGA Tour events how much the players interact with them, and of course the PGA players do too, but the women are so good at that. I would like to see that at every LPGA Tour event we have, that there's junior clinics and women's clinics. There should be a women's day at every single LPGA Tour stop, that we make it accessible for women in that city, where whatever it is, to bring them in, see the pros, talk to the pros, and then bring their daughters, their granddaughters, their nieces. Again, bring more junior girls into it. So I would like to see the LPGA make a focus of each of the cities that they're at, making sure that they have their own women's golf day and that it's accessible to everyone, not just to the corporate elite.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate, Lisa, and we really appreciate you coming to join us tonight. Good luck with your schedule this year and with your golf school as well. I think maybe you want to mention that. What have you got coming up with the golf school?
Well, again, I was so passionate about growing the game, and I missed out on seeing all these women at these tournaments, so I decided to start my own women's golf school. So I do half and full day schools in Calgary, but it became so popular that I do a winter golf school. So I do a 3-day golf school, one in Orlando for my Toronto, you know, New York, East Coast girls, and I also do one in Phoenix for more of my West Coast, you know, Vancouver, Western Canada girls. But you can, of course, come to any, but it's a 3-day school where we cover all aspects of the game, chipping, pitching, putting, sand, and of course the full swing. And it's not just hitting your driver longer, but all the clubs in your bag. So if any women are interested, they can go to my website at lisalongball.com, and there's a golf schools tab there for them to check it out.
Where else can we find you as far as the social media and that?
Oh, yes, I love Twitter, so I'm very active on Twitter, so at Lisa Longball. My married name is Vluswick, and so if it was Lisa Vluswick, I think I'd only have 3 followers because no one could spell it. So it's at Lisa Longball on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and I'd love for them to friend me on Facebook. I have a page too, but I like being a friend because then you can see people's stuff and react, so please feel free to join me on any of those, and I'd love to connect.
Well, you're an amazing ambassador for the game. You've been a great friend. I really appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to catching up with you again later on this year. How's that?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'd absolutely love that. And thank you for all you both do to grow the game.
Thank you, Lisa Longball, for that amazing interview. Holy moly, does she have some energy.
She is not short on it, that's for sure.
Oh my God, you said she's never had a coffee in her life. It sounded like she was drinking just straight to her veins.
She had one last year. She was doing a corporate outing for a coffee company. She said she tried it for her first time. I always joke with her, I didn't want to see her on coffee. You know, great friend, all sorts of energy. And you know what? She is a unique person and I love her. And, you know, she does a great job and what a great guest.
No, she was she was amazing. As I said, it felt like, have you ever heard of Hangover Heaven in Vegas where they just put like water straight into your veins when you're super hungover?
No, never heard of
that. What? There's a thing where if you're super hungover in Vegas, they bring an IV. Don't worry about it. But it felt like to me she had coffee just going straight into her veins. I loved her. She's a great guest. We'll definitely have her back on. And if you're around any of those golf events, she talked about a lot of great stuff. Golf Town has their ladies' night. She runs Women's Golf Day, which is coming up on June 4th. You know, she just loves the game. She loves the ladies' game, and she's a true ambassador through and through.
Yeah, she's, like I said before, she's a rock star when we've had her for presentations and stuff. And you know what? We need more people like her in the game.
We do. And I need to go to one of her teaching events because I had some issues this weekend, Scotty. I got out. I had 2 rounds this weekend. I mentioned last week I was going to get out for a couple rounds while the in-laws were here. Probably, maybe that was it. Maybe it was like karma or something.
Shouldn't have been out. You shouldn't have been sneaking
I
out.
I should have been making them breakfast. I apologize now. But I picked up a case of the shanks.
Oh, I don't even want to be near you right
now. The El Hazels, as I like to call them. That's my Spanish version.
Like when you say a case of the shanks, are you talking like...
Like 4 straight holes of shanks.
Oof, wow. Yeah. All right.
Started great, was rolling, ripping, making putts everywhere. I was like, all right, we're first round of the year. We're, you know, we're even through 4. Feeling good. Just stripe one down the 5th fairway, feeling good. I'm like, all right, this is great. Little wedge in. I'm going to make birdie. Let's go. Shank, quadruple bogey. Next hole. Terrible drive behind a tree, try to punch out from the tree, hit the tree, it goes backwards. All right, let's punch out from there. All right, we got 140 yards out. Let's just grab a quick, you know, nice little 9-iron. Shank. All right, we got a wedge to the green. Let's just pitch on. Shank. I was like, all right, this is
time to pack it up for this season. This
there's probably no worse feeling in golf because, I mean, you make the swing, you think, oh, that wasn't too bad. You look ahead of you. And there's no golf ball, right? It's just gone right to the side.
Just right to the side.
Where did you even find a course to play?
there's a couple courses in the area open. You know, you just got to look around. You got to head to the Flagstick forums, and you can check out every course that's open in Ontario and Quebec. And they, you keep great track of that, calling people all day, every day.
Pretty much. I think we've got about 60 courses that are Eastern Ontario, Western Quebec that are open right now. We're about to be. So, yeah, I mean, you can go and shank just about anywhere.
You can shank it all over the place right now. But, no, I finished up fine. One of my highest rounds in the last 4 years, which, whatever, it was fine to go out. But
hey, you know what?
You're going to share your score?
You're out playing golf.
Exactly. I will not be sharing my score. It is, it's been gone.
Now, to be fair, that's not your typical game. So, I mean,
I'm a toe. If I miss at all, it's off the toe. It's not off the hosel. And
yeah. So everybody don't think Stefan's some chop here.
I'm kind of a hack, whatever. I did see your famous pool, though.
Yep. So that's the course
you played Timber Ridge.
We're at Timber Ridge.
You didn't shank one in that
no,
direction?
No, I was not anywhere near the pool. I have no idea
just
how you
went in
that
for
pool.
Me, no?
It was so far away. But moving on, I'm going to give this a shank. This is what I'm going to give. Tiger Woods. Actually, you know what? He can do whatever the hell he wants.
That's
he
not wore a
his,
shank.
He wore his,
why would you call it a shank?
He wore his green jacket to his own restaurant the other night while wearing shorts.
Why wouldn't you?
And a hat.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I'd wear a hat if I was him. I'm balder than him. And he's, well, actually, I don't even know about that. But yeah, no, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is that a power move?
Totally. But I mean, he's Tiger Woods. I mean, it's a green jacket. I'd wear it everywhere.
I would be wearing it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Probably looked good in Perkins, too. Just matched the walls and everything.
Oh, everywhere. I mean, think about that.
It's
you,
true.
You remember when, well, you guys
Sergio
probably don't
Garcia
remember that
got
much.
Married in his.
Yeah, but if you think about it, even when Mike Weir dropped the puck in his at a Leafs game, I mean, why not?
Why not?
You're the champion.
That's fair.
Wear it.
And he didn't do his media. A lot of guys do the media tour. He's like, I'm over that.
Well,
I don't
mean,
need to do
once,
that. I'm
once
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you've won 80 million events. You know, why do you have to do that? You don't really have to do that. It's nice to go on there and do that for the other guys to, you know, wear the jacket for the first time and get some TV time. But, you know, wear it to your own restaurant. Why not?
You know who I'm not giving a shank to is Jason Duffner. I love this guy. He's one of my favorite golfers of all time. The one major championship I went to is the one Duff Daddy
Seriously.
Won. Yeah, the PGA Championship was the year he won. Did you see his Twitter video on the weekend?
It was awesome.
Hilarious, making fun of Phil Mickelson and his drive down.
So when he queued up as far as what Mickelson did at Augusta National and what Duffner was reacting
to. Yeah, so Phil's driving down Magnolia Lane, and he's talking about he's playing with Matt Kuchar. It's a perfect pairing. He's just going to hit bombs all day. He's swinging it at like 197 miles per hour, which is, or whatever, it's Phil being Phil. He's just going on and on and on being Phil, and just an entertainer. And and Duffner just basically remade the video in a
Duffner,
Duffner
way.
Way
in a Duffner
exactly.
way.
Hey golf fans, Saturday, RBC Heritage, nothing like walking through the tennis courts from the condo to the clubhouse. Got a great pairing today as we finish up our second round. Got Mac Hughes, Ted Potter Jr., absolute legends out here on the tour. You know, a lot of you probably thinking, hey, what's the strategy today? What are we going with? Not dropping bombs today. Two reasons. Club head speed, about 113, maybe 114. So no bombs with that. And we're playing Harbortown Golf Links. Fairway finder is what we're going with. Because pretty much if you hit the green, you've been attacking the pins here at Harbortown Golf Links. That's what we're going with. Trying to finish up that second round right on the cut line. Gonna need a couple birdies to get back in it. A couple plugs for the sponsor since we're doing the social this morning. Corona Premier. Thanks for the hats this week. Got a little dude wipes. Pretty self-explanatory. Wipes for dudes.
I love this guy. This guy's amazing. He's sponsored by Corona. We're drinking Coronas right now. Easy plug. No, can't do that probably.
Sure, why not?
Why not? But he's also sponsored by Dude Wipes. We were talking about Dude Wipes off there. You're not a Dude Wipe guy, apparently. I think it's a great product.
Whatever. Anybody's paying the money, then I'm sure it's good, right? If you're finishing T63...
He made a little bit of money.
He's making some change.
My buddy, he's a dude wipe guy. He's, ever since he had a kid, just straight baby wipes from here on out.
Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy.
Shout out to Mike and his baby wipes. He's always listening.
I mean, Duffner, I guess he's probably the same type of reaction some other people are having to Phil on Twitter. I mean, Phil's got on Twitter and he's sort of been starting to make some of these videos. Some of them are funny,
he's
obviously. Fun.
He's not the cool dad on Twitter. He's the dad who thinks he's cool on Twitter.
But it makes it that much funnier that because it's fun. Phil,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And then for Duffner to kind of take a jibe at him. And I mean, that's the great part with social media. These guys can show off their personalities. And a lot of the things that would happen at tournaments and in locker rooms and stuff like that, you're now seeing it show up on Twitter. So it makes for some entertainment. I mean, you know, he's walking across the tennis courts and he's talking about, you know, 113 miles an hour instead of 125 miles an hour. And, you know, it's Duffner just saying, yeah, he's self-deprecating and, you know, playing with the legends, Ted Potter and Mackenzie Hughes. And,
who both finished like T70, yeah, T60.
They were all three of them ended up near the bottom of the tournament, and Duffner ended up shooting 69, or finished up, I think he shot 69 that day, but he finished up on the weekend like 76 in the finals. So they were like, he was T63, him and Hughes, and then Potter was like four back, or T67 or something like that. But that's not even the point. The point is, it was funny.
It's funny. It's Duffner. I love that guy. He's great. We got a tournament to talk about this week. We have the Zurich Classic. I'm going to read the PGA's breakdown of this because this is that tournament that everyone forgets happens kind of each year, and it's a bit different, but it's a two-player team event with each team compromised of two professionals featuring a four-ball best ball during first and third rounds and foursomes alternate shot during the second and fourth rounds. Scotty, what do you think of Zurich? What do you think of my radio voice?
Yeah, you work on that one.
I like your podcast voice better.
Okay, yeah, there cool. You go. I mean, what are your thoughts on this event you're saying? I mean, I like the golf course. I played it a couple times. It's enjoyable. TPC Louisiana. As far as a team event, yeah, you know what? It's nice to have something different. My only, you know, walk-up music, I wish it was longer. You know, they do their walk-up music, but I think maybe 30 seconds of a clip they play. So it's not full out.
They need
know.
To do it like wrestling, like a giant like ramp that they come down with like smoke and stuff.
Why not? Go full European tour on it if you're going to do it. And I think I said
and
that.
And the caddies can be like, you know how the wrestlers used to have that guy that...
Just like their entourage?
Yeah, their entourage that like stood on the outside. Like the Undertaker had Paul Bearer. They need the Paul Bearer as the caddy.
So this is another opportunity for their coaches and their physiotherapists and everybody to stack in there.
Yeah.
And a Paul Bearer or whatever.
I am applying to be the Paul Bearer for anybody in the Zurich Classic.
I guess if they're going to, you know, dip their toe into that market as far as entertainment stuff, I mean, go all out. And I think that was my beef last year with it, was the fact that, you know, here was the hype that they were going to have, you know, walk-up music or whatever. And, you know, it was like the little short teeny clip. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a lot of guys might have had the same song. So
yeah,
make it unique. The only thing I have about this event is the fact that, you know, a person can just pick out whoever they want within a certain amount as far as the rankings are concerned to be their teammate. And these guys earn status. I mean, you know, they're two players.
It is weird, yeah.
So, you know, but again, it's something different. A lot of the events sort of had to make themselves stand out. If they don't want to be just another stroke play event, if they're not a major, if they're not a WGC, they've got to do something a little bit different, entertainment wise. I know the players love this event just because they like to get to New Orleans. They like to get out on Bourbon Street, enjoy themselves. There's
a lot
of
say last year, Duffner and Pat Perez were a pairing. Can you imagine? They almost won, and they are probably the most hungover.
I'm sure it was a time. Yeah. I mean, it's a great city that way. So the players love it. There's tons of food. There's tons of everything in that town. But yeah, whatever. Will I be watching? Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. You got a big trip coming up, Scotty. Next week, we're going to be talking to you all the way in wonderful, beautiful Scotland. Ireland?
Northern Ireland, yeah.
Close. I just traveled there last year. What do I know?
Yeah, exactly.
All blurs together eventually, believe me.
Once you get there, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a trip over with the great people from Visit Ireland with some other media guys and have a look at the course at Royal Portrush, Royal County Down, Ardglass as well for a little travel piece. And yeah, I guess I'm going to check in over there. It might be a little late when I check in there. I mean, we've got a little bit of a time change and it'll
be the time change that's the problem.
Yes,
there
of course.
Won't be any Guinness
I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're also slurring your words.
It's going to be a busy week over there. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to collecting a bunch of content. Maybe we'll bring some interviews back. But checking in with you guys from midnight plus in Northern Ireland could be interesting. That's for sure.
We can't wait. You're also being way too modest. You're not just checking out Royal Port Rush and all these courses. You're playing all these courses. You're playing where the Open Championship will be this year.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because the stands are up. I think I mentioned that last week. We have to play off mats off the fairways, which is just what they do for the first 60 days leading into the tournament before they close the
golf
course.
So you hit it into the fairway, then you put it on a mat?
Yeah, you carry this little mat around and you got to tip it up off of that just so they can keep the fairways pure, which is fine. And you know what? The success of this tournament has been, or like the reaction to it, has been unbelievable. First of all, they sold out the championship days like almost immediately. They put out 15,000 more tickets just last week. They sold those out in 72 hours. You know, everybody's eager to go back to Northern Ireland. It's been the 1950s since the Open was there. It was the only other time it was there before. It's going to be an amazing golf course. It's beautiful. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, seeing how hard of a test it is. It will be different seeing it this time of year versus what it's going to look like in the summertime, but I'm sure it's going to be plenty hard. And yeah, it'll be fun to see, I'm sure.
I'm sure you're going to have a blast. We can't wait to chat with you about that. That's for sure. We obviously talked about the Open Championship, but we had some big news about our Open Championship, the Flagstick Open. Scotty, you announced a big announcement today.
Yeah, we've been waiting for a little while to get our registration gifts all sorted out. One of the things about our event is we always like to make sure that any of the competitors that come in and play in the event, that they're, for lack of a better term, they're winner before they tee off.
You're not walking away empty-handed.
No, I mean, the problem, you go to some tournaments sometimes, you go and you play the event, and nothing against it. You go, you get your tournament rounds in, you get your meal, there's a prize table there, and that's great. But we like to make it a little bit different. We want players to feel like they're, kind of at a tour event. They're treated like a star. They're showing up and they get a great registration package right away. We've done that for a number of years for some.
Yeah, but
events.
This is different.
This is a little bit different. Thankfully, we have the Flagstick Open Amateur Championship, which is hosted at Equinel May 18th, 19th, is presented by TaylorMade and Adidas Golf. And they've worked with us, both companies. And we've managed to put together a package that not only includes a Adidas pullover, choice of colors, an Adidas belt, plus a TaylorMade FlexTech Lite golf bag, which is valued $250. So you get a package of just over $400 just for getting to the registration table is really what it amounts to. So $199 to play in the tournament plus applicable taxes or whatever, and you're ahead before you even tip it up.
Oh, I can't wait. Don't even forget, like, every divisional winner, we're going to talk to them on the podcast at the end too.
Exactly. We've got an overall.
It's probably the most important part. Oh, of course. You should have put that on the
post.
It's
the biggest prize.
You get to meet Nick.
There you go. So entries are rolling in now because we announced that earlier today. Like I said, we've been waiting to announce that and get that out there. And I think for golfers, it's a great opportunity to play in this event, get some great gifts, get their season kicked off the right way, and have a great time. So, and I know you're going to be in the field, so looking forward to seeing you
shank
it up around Equinel. So yeah. we'll try and make sure the course setup is shank friendly.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of left tee blocks would be nice.
Wide corridors.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, at least water on number one won't be a problem.
Well,
I guess
the good part is, knock on wood. The good part is we've got lots of great rules officials, so we might have to assign one to you.
Yeah, just my own personal one the whole time.
Exactly.
Simulcast my whole round for T-Talking.
GoPro
on my bag. That'll be great. I can't wait. Well, why don't we wrap it up there? We appreciate Lisa Longball for joining us on T-Talk this week. Everyone head over to flagstickopen.com and sign up for the tournament, as Scotty mentioned, May 18th and 19th. Next week, we're going to catch Scotty as he's in Northern Ireland, as I've nailed that down.
You
it's
got your
Northern
geography
Ireland.
Figured out now, yeah.
Yeah. I said, it's blurry over there. I was over there for 10 days. I don't remember much. Can't wait to chat with Scotty about his trip over there. And courses are opening. Get out. Head to, where can people check out to see what courses are open?
Just head to flagstick.com. We've got the link up in a story on the front page, and that'll take you over to the forum where you'll see all the listing that's in there. We update it pretty much every day, whether ranges are opening, projected opening dates, all the information's there.
Awesome. Head to flagstick.com now. Thanks for listening. Before we go, one last thing. People got to subscribe to the podcast. They got to rate it 5 stars. Nick, how many stars?
5 stars only.
5 stars only. Make sure you do that. Leave us a rating. My mother-in-law left a nice little review.
I saw that. Was her? That was pretty nice.
Yeah, that was nice. I don't know what she said. Probably, this guy's an idiot. Why did he marry my daughter? But it's not wrong. maybe if you guys could leave some reviews, it'll bump that one down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'd appreciate that.
That would help. All right, everybody. Everyone have a great weekend. Make sure you're hitting some bombs out there, as Phil would say. And if you have the slower swing speed, just find the fairway. Why not? Have a good one.